Talk Live. If you want, via the toll-free number, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. It is Ian here with you.
And Nick.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site about things that are interesting to us. And to start things out here tonight, it's been a while since we've had an awful police abuse story. That's not because there hasn't been any. It's just because, well, if we all we talked about was police abuse, then it wouldn't really be Free Talk Live.
Yeah, Police Abuse Radio.
Police Abuse Live. And there's plenty of stories out there. There's never a shortage of these things. So please don't think this is just a once-in-a-lifetime occurrence here. The story is from the Raw Story, rawstory.com, where a 20-year-old university student in Michigan is in the hospital and in serious condition after police shot the man Wednesday while serving a drug warrant. He was unarmed, according to investigators. Coming through an apartment's back door, an Ottawa County deputy allegedly shined a flashlight in the student's face, causing him to raise his right hand in front of his eyes. You know, it kind of hurts to have the light shown in your eyes, especially if it's all dark and you're a hippie den. And the officer, whose name was not released, of course, because what we've seen recently is a trend toward police departments actually refusing to reveal information about officers that are under accusation because they don't want the fallout that can come from that. They want to do whatever they can to protect their buddy from any kind of media attention or social ostracism from that. They want to do whatever they can to protect their buddy from any kind of media attention or social ostracism that might come out as a result of him shooting some kid in the chest. According to the story, the 20-year-old Grand Valley State University student who survived the shooting said he had no idea the man was an officer, was shot by one bullet in the chest by this cop. And according to Derek's mother in 24-hour news report, she said he never even had a chance to even see who was coming at him with a bright flashlight in his face. He had no clue. He heard someone knock on his door, and he had no clue. Cops' parents insist.
Well, as though raising one's right hand in order to block a light and being shown in one's face is somehow an evil act.
But the cop probably thought he had a gun in it, right? That's going to be the cop's excuse.
I'm sure.
Well, I thought he was raising a gun.
You know, I'm sorry. You know, the likelihood of somebody not having a gun is significantly higher than someone having a gun. So, you know, them jumping to that, it seems to me that that guy, he can still be a police officer, but we're going to take his gun away.
Cops' parents insist their son is not a drug dealer. However, he appears to be a marijuana activist, stating on his Facebook page that he likes to smoke a Dobolski. This guy sounds like a real dangerous guy, right?
Clever.
And on his YouTube page, in a video entitled Hippie Lunchtime Hour, he makes references to baking marijuana-infused brownies. In another, he plays the fictional role of an acid dealer whose friend goes on a psychedelic journey through cliche colors. Cop's parents were not notified of the shooting by the police. They allegedly found out.
The kid's name is Cop.
Apparently so, yeah. Derek Cop. Excuse me, I didn't mention that. Derek Cop's parents were not notified. They found out 6 hours later.
Nice.
The officer is on paid administrative leave because you never want to make sure the police go without getting paid for doing no work. Police have said, or have rather not said, whether they even found any drugs in Cop's apartment.
Well, now, I don't think that it really, marijuana. This was done over marijuana.
It likely, was done over marijuana. Monday, a group of about 25 protesters gathered outside the Ottawa County Sheriff's Department holding signs which read, "Don't shoot, I'm unarmed," and "Why did you shoot my friend?" I wonder what the cops have to say in response to this. According to
dirty drug addicts, I'm sure.
The university president, "I want to know what brought the enforcement team to Derek's apartment and why a firearm was discharged." He sent an email out to the cops asking that. "The fact that this incident took place off campus diminishes neither my interest nor my concern." Jim DeVree with the Police Officers Association.
It's nice that the university cares, but what if this kid wasn't a university student? Then who would care? Somehow this bureaucrat, which is what an administrator is for a college, yet another government employee, his words have some kind of value. No, they don't.
Jim DeVree from the Police Officers Association
in Michigan.
Not even more
than anyone else's, I should say.
Said the deputy is required by contract to give a statement in any internal sheriff's department investigation that could impact his job, but it cannot be used by prosecutors for any criminal charges. So far, no internal statement.
So he doesn't have the right to remain silent, but the things that he says can and will won't and
may not be
may not be used against him.
So far, no internal statement has been requested. DeVries said it's not unusual for a union-represented officer to forego speaking with investigators in a shooting incident, and he doesn't think it gives an appearance of wrongdoing. No problems here. Derikoff's family, in the meantime, has hired Grand Rapids attorney Fred Dilley. In a statement, he says, "We have some very important questions about what appears to be some shocking police activity." Dilley says his client is making a satisfactory but guarded recovery. The bullet tore through his upper right lung and liver and damaged two ribs. This kid's lucky to be alive. He's lucky that cop didn't put two in his chest and one in his head. These cops are looking for opportunities.
The cop would be better off currently if he had, and that's a problem.
That's true. He could plant something on him.
Incentivizing cops to kill people.
That's true. He could plant something on him. He could plant some drugs or a gun or something like that on him and then make him look like he was a bad guy.
That cop shouldn't, not that cop, they shouldn't be sending police officers in on these drug raids. There's no reason for the cops to be going into this kid's house.
Sure there is. It's an adrenaline rush.
Yeah, well, that's fun. Anyway.
It's really exciting to them. They're really into this sort of thing. They're into kicking people's doors in. They're into shouting. They're into toting around their weaponry and pointing them at people. Those who are on the SWAT team most likely are. You know, they've essentially self-selected themselves because that's what they're interested in doing. And we know from talking to Barry Cooper on this show, former law enforcement officer, who has essentially outed the cops and said these guys are adrenaline junkies. He knows. He worked with him. He was a narcotics officer for years, one of the top cops down in Texas. So I trust what Barry Cooper has to say on that. So continuing the story here, organizers say they're putting together an event. Protesters are being heard by the Ottawa County Sheriff's Department. I'm sure they really care. After a brief meeting, they decided to sit down and discuss the issue as soon as the investigation is complete. Wonder what the investigation is going to find out. Well, if we go by past experience, the investigation will determine, after a careful review of the evidence, that officer, whatever his name is, we don't know, it's being held back, that the anonymous union officer was found completely innocent of all wrongdoing. He was just following the book. If somebody raises their arm at a cop, they deserve to be shot in the chest. That's my prediction for how this will turn out.
It's probably a good prediction.
Yeah.
I mean, that's usually how these things turn out.
Well, if it gets really, really sticky, they'll give him a medal.
Yeah, you're right. They do like to do that, don't they?
Now, I'm not saying that they give him the medal for shooting the hippie.
No, they'll find something else.
They give him the medal.
Bravery.
Right, in order to shield him. You know, this is an award-winning cop now.
Mm-hmm. According to the story here, national media has been absent on the case, and local media has focused.
You know, it's not the. It's the root of this problem isn't this police officer, because I can understand why somebody would be, you know, somebody raises their hand in front of me as a police officer, you get that, just that flash of a second, just that moment to decide whether or not your gun's already out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a bust, I'm assuming, a SWAT team. His gun's already out. It's pointed at the guy raises his hand, pop. I can understand that. I'm not saying it's good. I don't condone it or anything like that. The problem is the drug war itself.
Right. They were there in the first place. Now, if they were actually in the house of somebody who was holding another person at gunpoint, hopefully they would have assessed the situation carefully before going in and doing something like this. Whereas with the drug situation, with any drug raid, usually what happens is they just find out where the person lives and they go in with guns a-blaring. They don't do any sort of undercover buys. They don't scope out the inside first. They get, in many cases, a tip from some anonymous informant or some informant, some drug addict himself that's trying to get out of some charges or something like that. He says, yeah, I bought some weed over there at this college kid's house. And then, you know, the next day they get a warrant from and signed by the judge, and they go in with, and they kick in a door.
Yeah. That's what happened with that Clarice or whatever her name was down in Atlanta. The
92-year-old woman?
Yeah, that they shot and killed her.
Yep, and then they made up a bunch of crap afterward to try to cover up. Because cops are just such good guys. Now, I know, there are some good cops out there, but there are a lot of really bad ones. In fact, there is a story that we'll share with you here. Of course, we'll take your calls also about whatever you want. But coming up, there's a story about a former police chief who's come out to say that law enforcement doesn't pick bad apples, it makes them. So we'll see what he thinks about all this coming up here in a moment. And there's a few more details on the story about the cop shooting the unarmed pothead. More on the way.
A Tips Radio Minute with tips and advice on eating healthy and living long. Here's your host, nutrition and diet expert and author of The Engine 2 Diet, Rip Esselstyn.
When talking about a plant-based diet, I hear this one all the time. If you're eating only plant-based foods, your energy will be low. The fact is, on a plant-based diet, your energy levels will be more constant and consistent than any other point in your life. Think of high fiber and nutrient-heavy plant foods as the big logs in the fireplace. Think of low fiber and nutrient-light foods, such as simple carbohydrates, as wads of newspaper that go up in a flash. It may seem hard to believe, but if you try it for 28 days, you'll see startling differences in yourself. For real. For the Diet and Health Tips Radio Minute, I'm Rick Esselstyn.
For a transcript of this program, additional diet and health tips, and information about the Engine 2 diet, please visit theengine2diet.com. Professional athlete-turned-firefighter Rip Esselstyn is used to responding to emergencies, so when he learned that some of his fellow Engine 2 firefighters were in dire physical condition, he sprang into action and created the Engine 2 diet. With the Engine 2 diet, you'll transform your body and lifestyle in just 1 month. This eating plan is based on a simple diet of whole foods, and it's also packed with dozens of easy mouth-watering recipes. The Engine 2 diet is medically approved and is designed for anyone who wants to make heroic strides in health. The Engine 2 diet by Rip Esselstyn is available wherever books are sold.
The IRS is skimming the wealth of the American people for the Wall Street bankers. Taxpayers are being raked over the coals and forced to pay for bailout after bailout. First we went after the Fed, now we're going after the Internal Revenue Service. On April 15th, the Republic strikes back. Every zip code, every post office nationwide, one purpose, show me the law. Visit showmethelaw.org and sign up today to get involved. Action groups are forming now at restorerepublic.net. Join us in this national grassroots action to end the federal income tax. On April 15th, the Republic.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest and dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. Factory direct wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
Let's go to the heart of the matter. Life Change Tea has had some commercials that are not appealing to those who live in denial. Maybe we are to believe there are no parasites in the world, and that having a clogged colon is good for you, that being overweight is absolutely healthy, that there are no unhealthy chemicals in the air, and last but not least, fluoride in your water is good for you. Not. Get the tea. Change your body and life from unhealthy to healthy. Order online at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Or order online at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Life Change Tea, the tea that changes how you feel.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It is your show. You can bring up whatever you want via the toll-free number, 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Nick.
And Mark.
You can join us online at freetalklive.com. We've got live streams. There's a broadband version, a dial-up version, and even a webcam. All waiting for you free at listen.freetalklive.com. That's listen.freetalklive.com. Also, Free Talk Live is brought to you by the Free State Project. It is your best chance for liberty in your lifetime. Head over to freestateproject.org to learn more about it. The concept is very simple. Bring as many liberty-loving individuals to the same geographic location as possible so they can then get active in a way that heretofore has never been seen in the liberty movement. And it's already begun with hundreds of people having already moved early to newhampshire.org to learn more more. Get involved. That's freestateproject.org. As we continue here from rawstory.com, yet another police tragedy, a police-created tragedy, one that never had to exist, one that there was no reason for this to happen besides the insanity of the war on drugs. As you pointed out, Mark, this young man would not have a hole in his chest right now if it weren't for the war on drugs. 20-year-old guy in college gets raided by the police looking for a little bit of marijuana or maybe a lot. Doesn't matter how much it was. The cops come in. By the way, the cops have not even claimed to have found drugs in this raid. And it wouldn't matter if they did, because the raid itself never should have happened, because the war on drugs should not be happening. It's a war on our friends and family members. This 20-year-old kid was not a gangster thug going around shooting his competition. He's just another college kid selling a little bit of weed so he can afford some textbooks.
Maybe selling weed. I mean, we don't know.
We're presuming.
From the evidence, it sounds like he certainly did use marijuana, but
it's not uncommon for somebody to purchase an ounce of marijuana and quarter it up for their friends. Not uncommon at all. So that if he was doing any kind of sales, it probably was on that level, or you know, he might go and buy himself a half pound and then parcel it out to the, you know, the rest of the campus or something like that. I'm somewhat intimately familiar with the operations and the goings on some college campuses. So, you know, this guy is not out knocking out his competition. He's not out doing violent things. He's just a college kid. And yet the cops come in there with a SWAT team, just like they always do, as though the guy is lurking in the corners, ready to shoot at a bunch of cops that come through the door.
That, I mean, if you're concerned about the militarization of the police force, the drug war is another thing to look at, because it's probably the number one factor in why we see relatively routine searches and seizures being done by the SWAT team now. They're not just used for hostage situations or trying to apprehend somebody who's extremely dangerous. They're just kind of used as a search team now, just for minor drug raids or
sure, anytime
whatever
they
else.
Can bring them out. Anytime they get the opportunity to come and, you know, put their big black masks on and their get their MP5s out and run in and get the concrete block thing that they can just ram through somebody's front door with. Man, that's exciting. And that's why they do it.
Can't dispute that it's exciting.
Well, because anybody that takes just a moment, and I'm sure these cops have thought about this, haven't they? Anybody that takes just a moment and looks at the war on drugs can see the futility of it. I mean, we've talked to plenty of cops, even cops who believe in prohibition, that understand that it doesn't work. They understand that there's no success in this drug war, that if they take this kid out of his dorm room and put him in a jail cell for 6 months, it just means that his next-door neighbor has a market opportunity to start selling the weed to the other kids in the dorm.
So what does that, you know, where does that leave one morally, you know, as far as a police officer? If a police officer
arrest the whole campus.
And that's not a moral position, that's
okay.
A practical position. You know, then that essentially leaves them with, I know that this drug war is futile, you know, and if you don't look at it any farther, then you're being intellectually dishonest. If you do look at it farther and say, well, people do have the right to consume what they want. I mean, marijuana, I guess, it's pretty relatively harmless, mm-hmm. And then they continue to arrest people, then they're on really tenuous moral ground. I mean, that's not a good place to be. Now, if they're getting active in the war on drugs and saying, you know, taking a stand out there, not the war on drugs, but the war against the war on drugs, you know, taking a stand publicly, like Bradley Jardis, you know, who we interviewed at the Liberty Forum, mm-hmm. I don't have as much of a problem with that, you know. So I think police officers need to take responsibility for their moral stance. They pretend like they're the good guys. So be the good guys.
Organizers say another major event is planned, Friday in Grand Rapids. Anyway, national media has been absent, they say. The Grand Rapids Press took a look at cop's Facebook page and found that it had drug references, as though that had some bearing on whether he should have been shot or not. So it's okay to just, you know, pop some kid in the chest because he smoked pot? Are there people out there that think that? That'll look at this kid and say, darn criminal, dirty bastard, he's just out there smoking weed. We ought to execute them all.
there's a handful of people out there who do have that opinion, and I think largely even those people only have it because of the way the war on drugs has been propagandized for. They do see drug dealers or drug users as essentially some kind of disease on society.
They found out that the student has expressed his advocacy and interest in reforming marijuana laws and that he had declared himself to be a left-wing hippie peacekeeping liberal. But wait, there's more. He'd advocated the passage of last fall's proposal to legalize marijuana in Michigan, or medical marijuana, rather, and he liked the movie Drugstore Cowboy as well as Martin Scorsese movies. Worst of all, he had quoted Grateful Dead lyrics. It strikes me as the drug war equivalent of asking what a rape victim was wearing. Cop reportedly wants to be a filmmaker and said he may produce work based on the shooting. So, luckily, this young man is still alive. You know, luckily this bullet didn't go through his heart or something like
that. It went into his chest.
Yeah.
I mean, they almost killed this kid over weed. And apparently it was profiled off his Facebook page, right?
I don't know. They don't really get
into it. It's a strange story because it sounds like there was only one cop there and that he was profiled off his Facebook page, which is all very odd. If one cop did a drug raid here, I've got a problem with that police officer.
They might just not be mentioning other officers.
They might. Yeah. I'm only saying what I've heard.
It's not made clear.
My guess is that he had some kind of a higher profile than your average kid who's just smoking pot.
Okay.
It sounds like he was a marijuana activist, and he was probably selected for a raid based on that.
Okay.
You think he was targeted politically?
I would think so, yeah.
There's a possibility.
I would think...
That doesn't happen in America.
I would think something led the police to that kid's Facebook account, and... I don't know. It seems like a bit of a stretch. I guess the judge must have issued a warrant here based on the evidence they had, but it seems like a bit of a stretch that they would stumble onto a random Facebook account of a college kid, then go to a judge to get a warrant based on some drug references.
I agree with you.
You know, unless they had some kind of other agenda.
It's likely that he made himself known in the community and was targeted for it, and it probably wasn't hard. I mean, if he's an activist, marijuana activist, then he's probably out there doing things like protests and things like that, organizing events. It wouldn't be a hard thing for the cops to do to take one of their undercover officers and put him inside whatever the marijuana advocacy group is, basically get friendly with him, and then have him sell him an eighth. It wouldn't be hard at all. And this guy is probably really laid back. He's probably not that paranoid. He's probably, again, a college kid. He's probably not really experienced at doing anything. So he's just probably letting people come into his dorm room and buy weed from him. Probably friends are bringing other friends in to buy weed. That's probably the situation.
Maybe they got a tip, but I would think if they had hard evidence that he was a drug dealer, they would put that out there. I mean, it seems like the police department would be very quick to label him a drug dealer and talk about how much marijuana or acid or whatever he was selling.
And they haven't claimed to have found anything. So, true. Who knows what the whole story is here? I mean, certainly no one on this show has talked to Mr. Cop, although that might not be a bad idea when he's able to speak to the press.
For all of those who out there want to be assistant producers, get a hold of Cop and get him in touch with us.
Yeah, that'd be a fine idea. I mean, this is a rare opportunity to actually interview somebody who's been raided by the police and survived and isn't necessarily in a jail cell. I mean, it doesn't really even say if he's been arrested here, I don't think. I don't believe he was arrested for anything.
Well, it's at this point, they probably should leave that alone.
Yeah, at this point, I think that if he is charged, he'll probably get a fairly light sentence because the police...
He did throw a bullet in chest.
Yeah, I mean, the judge will take that into account.
Oh, hey, look, we're in the midst of spots.
Sunspots.
Continue to lay off thousands of people. Unemployment is the highest it's been in over 30 years. Statistics prove that in a recession, crime rates go up. Everyone needs something for that extra edge to prevent becoming a victim in these difficult and trying times. You need to prepare yourself with DPS pepper spray, available at MrDefense.com. DPS is the strongest pepper spray in the market and is the same spray used by hundreds of law enforcement agencies from around the world. Need something more? The Scorpion stun gun is a great way to take down a
potential attacker. Mr. Defense also carries the largest selection of air tasers, knives, self-defense keychains, swords, batons, survival, spy, and tactical gear. Mention this ad and receive 10% off of your order and a free self-defense keychain. Visit MrDefense.com. That's MRDefense.com or call 1-800-313-6400. That's 1-800-313-6400 for all of your self-defense needs today.
This year, millions of people will lose electricity. Ice storms, earthquakes, flooding, or hurricanes could leave you without power for days. Anyone that's ever been in a blackout knows 1,200 hours. It's so small, it fits right in your pocket and glows in the dark, making it easy to find when you need it most. One Florida customer says,
"My pack light has lasted through 4 hurricanes in 2 years, over 30 days without electricity, and I'm still using the same battery."
The pack light comes with a 25-year warranty, and prices start at just $12.99. It's time for you to be prepared with a pack light. Visit us at 9voltlight.com. That's 9voltlight.com. Or call us today, toll-free, at 877-715-4448. That's 877-715-4448.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com. Or call 866-598-7396. 866-598-7396.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Free Talk Live, you dial toll-free 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. You can bring up whatever you want. 1-800-259-9231. That's why we call the show Free Talk Live. It is Ian here with you.
And Nick.
And Mark.
You can join us on our website, freetalklive.com. All the features we give to you, and they include the Shrine of Female Listeners, dozens of ladies who've taken the time to send us their validated photo and prove they listen to the show. Head over to shrine.freetalklive.com and see what that's all about. Again, that's shrine.freetalklive.com. Now, the stories of civil disobedience here in New Hampshire touched, moved, and inspired you, but you can't, for whatever reason, be involved. Well, now you can. The Civil Disobedience Evolution Fund at cdevolution.org allows you to care for these brave men and women by financially supporting them while they face down the organizations that operate through violence and coercion. cdevolution.org. You can get signed up for a monthly withdrawal from your PayPal account. You can also do a one-time contribution, or as an alternative, you can go to newegg.freetalklive.com, and when you shop Newegg through that link, and I just bought a whole bunch of computer parts the other day, when you shop Newegg, that's what they sell there, computer parts, through that link, a percentage of your purchase will go to cdevolution.org. So newegg.freetalklive.com benefits cdevolution.org, and that benefits some of the great civil disobedience activists that we have up here in New Hampshire. So 800-259-9231 is the SACL CAI toll-free line. We continue your calls about whatever you want. It's Tom in New Hampshire. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Tom.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that last night, while I was waiting on the air to go, waiting on the line to go on the air, there was a horrible drunk driving crash in Roseville, Michigan.
Okay.
4 teenagers were killed in a drunk driving crash.
Oh, no.
Yeah, don't you think they ought to start checking IDs more carefully, you know, or start imposing tougher penalties on adults who provide alcohol to people under 21, stuff like that?
No, I don't. I think that young people should be able to make choices for themselves.
Yeah, 19-year-old Devin Spurlock was behind the wheel, okay, and 3 other teenagers were in the vehicle. They were struck when a 47-year-old woman allegedly was driving drunk, 0.20% blood alcohol concentration, driving way too fast down by the Macomb Mall in Roseville, Michigan, smashed into a utility pole, spun out, and then smashed into them.
Four
of them got killed. So this is what they're talking about when they're talking about teenagers getting killed in drunk driving crashes. They're not
talking part of the numbers. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and it's very important to remember that even if the hate-mongering bigots at Mothers Against Drunk Driving are successful in eliminating underage drinking, which is what they really are, they're like the Nazis, hate Jewish people, Mothers Against Drunk Driving hates people under 21, even if they're successful.
Tom, what are the numbers? I mean, I know you're kind of a self-styled expert on this. What are the numbers, if you know, of these teenage-related drunk driving deaths or drinking or alcohol-related teenage driving deaths? How many of them are actually teens who are drunk versus adults who are drunk?
More of them are teenagers drunk that I've come across when I do searches on the Internet news site. But the fact is that those were not the same people as the ones that are getting busted for minor in possession. The ones that are getting busted for minor in possession didn't commit those DWI crimes.
No, they didn't hurt anybody, and they didn't put anybody in jeopardy, ever.
So the point is that even if the Mothers Against Drunk Driving bigots are successful in preventing everybody under 21 from exercising their right to drink the beverage of their choice, then you'll still get people under 21 getting killed by drunk drivers, okay, because the drunk drivers 21 and older go out and kill people under 21. So
they'll continue to call those underage alcohol-related deaths.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So four of them were killed in Roseville, Michigan last night.
It's a sad story. I thank you, Tom, as always. I appreciate hearing from you. And there's certainly never any end to the stupidity of some people drinking and then getting behind the wheel like that. And nobody is in favor of somebody putting others in danger, I don't think. I don't think anybody's in favor of that.
Drinking alcohol isn't putting them in danger. Drinking alcohol, getting behind the wheel, that's putting them in danger.
Exactly. Young people should be able to make choices about their own lives. They do anyway. They make those choices.
Too much alcohol and getting behind the wheel is putting them in danger.
They make those choices all the time about their own lives. It's just that some of those choices are prohibited. And if it's discovered that they've been making those choices, they'll get something put on their permanent record. They'll have their lives harmed far more so than the headache that they might get the next morning after drinking a little bit too much. So it'd be really nice if these young people would be left alone and just allowed to make their own mistakes, because you're not going to convince young people that they shouldn't drink just by telling them. It's just not going to work.
Well, it's not like these young people are any different than any young people have ever been ever.
Right.
Young people have been drinking alcohol. It's only recently that we've put age restrictions on them.
And it wasn't we. It was them. It was the government guys.
The human beings, the hairless monkeys that we are.
Let's continue with your calls. Talk to Maureen, listening in Virginia. Maureen, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, I just stumbled upon you guys.
Welcome to the show.
Sorry, I've never listened to you before. I just didn't know you were there. But do you know anything about how Ed and Elaine Brown are doing?
They're in federal prison, and I believe they've been charged with additional crimes at the federal level at this point. So I don't know what came out of that. I don't know if they've had their trial yet. I don't believe they have.
They're likely never going to get out of prison from what we're telling there. The only one who has a chance is Reno. And
he was one of the people that helped them. Reno was one of the other people.
So they're saying there is no chance of them getting out of prison.
No, that's what Mark just said.
Really not likely.
There are more charges coming, and if they're found guilty.
They've got enough time now that it's pretty much their, the remainder of their life, and they've got more charges pending, and it's not looking good.
If there's anybody out there listening that would know how I can get in touch with one of their children, I've got some ideas that I think would, totally legal, totally, but there are ways that they can get out. There really are.
What would you suggest?
You know what? I could talk to you about it off the air, but not on the air.
Well, this is an on-air radio show, so if you don't have anything to contribute, that's fine.
Basically, it has to do with UCC filings, and you take over the fact that you are not a corporation. They have no right to tax you or to imprison you.
Well, I think Reno tried that at his trial, and it didn't really get him anywhere.
At the very least, sentencing.
Right. He tried to talk about how he doesn't consent to this, and he's not the corporate Reno, and all of the stuff you're talking about. And they just basically just said they had no idea what he was talking about, and they put him in a jail cell. So, I mean, I hope that you're right. I hope that somebody can file the right paperwork and just get them turned out. But if that were true, then why aren't people getting turned out all over the country? I mean, the federal government has a lot of people sitting in prison cells that have never harmed anybody else.
Every 35.
I mean, if you're
I know of one man who, by filing paperwork, his judge was the most evil. There's not even a word bad enough for the judge. The judge was the one that put some of the women in Waco into prison. That's how bad this judge was.
Hmm. So what happened? Somebody filed some paperwork, and what happened?
And got out.
Wow.
And what evidence do you have for your claims?
I know the man that did it.
You personally know what happened. Do you have access to the paperwork that he filed?
I'd love to hear about it. I mean, really, I want to know about this so that I can talk to a lot of people about it.
Yep. What do you have access to this man and the paperwork that he filed?
I have access to him, and I do have access to the paperwork he filed. He's kind of afraid to go public. Basically, what he did was he filled out the UCC stuff. I think he already had done that before he was put in prison. He was put in prison for giving a man a controlled substance. This guy was somebody that knew how to heal sick people.
Mm-hmm.
And his first name was Jerry. I can give you that part. Jerry did not know that this natural thing was made into a drug. So he was basically arrested, and he was sentenced. He spent quite a few years in prison before he found out that he could do this.
And he filed the papers himself from within prison and got himself released?
I do not know. I would have to talk to him about that.
Why don't you talk to him and have him call in, and hopefully we can talk to him about his experiences, because usually when we talk to people making claims like this, they have third-hand knowledge of it. They know somebody who knows somebody, but you claim you actually know the guy. So get him to call this show and tell us all about it, and we'd love to explain this to our listeners, because there are a lot of people that would like to help their loved ones get out of jail. Thank you for the call. 800-259-9231. Will we ever hear from him? It's Free Talk Live.
A congressman recently revealed that legislation totaling 2,900 pages and involving more than $1 trillion was available to members of Congress for less than 48 hours to study and consider. That's over 60 pages of legislation per hour. Do you think anyone read the entire bill? I'm Jim Babka with DownsizeDC.org. Consider a proposal buried in a 3,200-page, $388 billion bill, which would have empowered committee chairmen or their agents to examine Americans' tax returns. When this horrible provision came to light, no one claimed to know how it got into the bill. One congressman questioned said, "I didn't write it. I didn't approve it. I wasn't even consulted." If your attorney represented you this way, he might be disbarred. But this is how Congress represents you every day. That's why DownsizeDC.org has created the Read the Bills Act. You can force Congress to read their bills before they pass them at DownsizeDC.org.
This year, many of us will have to make the tough decision on what to cut back on and what's essential as we prepare for an uncertain future. In these troubled times, one of the most important things your family can have is good health. Some of the contributors to poor health are parasites, viruses, toxins, and heavy metals. It's a documented fact. 80% of all Americans and 85% of people around the world suffer from internal parasites and parasitic infection. Now you can fight internal parasites, heavy metals, and high cholesterol naturally and safely by mixing fossilized phytoplankton powder, also known as FPP, with your favorite beverage once a day. FPP is now available to you from freshwaterorganics.com. A 2-month supply starts at just $17. FPP is so affordable, you can't afford to do without. Visit freshwaterorganics.com or call them toll free at 888-949-3570. That's 888-949-3570.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Have you ever read the ingredients in your skin creams, personal hygiene products, vitamins, or herbal supplements? Did you know that most skin creams, body lotions, shampoos, and toothpastes are full of chemical additives such as sodium lauryl sulfate, the same type of detergent used in dish soap? Did you know that most multivitamin supplements are made from synthetic vitamins? Did you know that many herbal remedies contain unwanted additives and fillers? Have you ever tested your body's pH level? Make the change to only organic health and beauty products. Visit 2BNatural.com and order today. 2BNatural.com carries 100% natural and chemical-free skincare, whole food vitamins, herbal remedies, and alkaline body balance supplements. Visit TOBENatural.com. That's TOBENatural.com. 2BNatural.com. Use coupon code GCN and receive a 10% discount. Call 1-888-417-1375. That's 1-888-417-1375 to order or request your free catalog today.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can dial toll-free if you want to bring up whatever you want, 800-259-9231, or you can comment on what we've been talking about, 1-800-259-9231, that number brought to you by our friends at SACL CAI. It's Ian here with you.
And Nick.
And Mark. Join us online at freetalklive.com. If you like the show and you like the fact that we give away all the features on the website to you free, then you can register your appreciation by shopping with us at amazon.freetalklive.com. Head over to amazon.freetalklive.com. When you enter through that link, Free Talk Live will get a percentage of your purchase. So whatever it is you need to buy, they probably sell it. They've got dozens of categories in which you can shop, plus even used items over at amazon.freetalklive.com. So, where else shall we talk about tonight? Oh, we have the former police chief that wants to out police brutality. He wants to point out that law enforcement actually makes the bad apples, because a lot of times we'll talk about the corrupt cops, and there's so many stories. There's no shortage of these stories. We'll talk about these corrupt cop stories, and inevitably, if we're on like the Saturday night show, we have so many affiliates on board that a bunch of regular folk are listening. Then there will usually be a cop who will call in to say, well, it's just a few bad apples. And we've heard that claim made a whole bunch of times. And the people that know a little bit more and people that are a little bit more honest will tell you there are more than a few bad apples. In fact, I almost feel like in many cases, now I don't know if this applies to all police departments, but in many cases, the bad apples are running the ship. And that there are bad apples all over the place. So now Norm Stamper, and I guess we'll try to sneak this in here. Take your calls as well if you make them. Or Norm Stamper, you might recognize the name. He's a Law Enforcement Against Prohibition founder. So that's where this is coming from. Says, disclosure, during my rookie days back in the 60s as a San Diego police officer, I used excessive force more than once. I remember most of the incidents, though I'm sure I've conveniently forgotten some. I'm ashamed. I wish to hell I hadn't done it, but I did, and visceral memories of these incidents help shape an answer to the question of why certain cops engage in brutal behavior and others don't. As police brutality cases go, it may not be one of the one for the annals. In late February, King County, Washington, Sheriff's Deputy Paul Sheen deposited a slender 15-year-old girl into a holding cell and ordered her to remove her shoes. You guys might remember seeing this video. Nick, did you see the video of them beating up this girl?
I saw the video, and we actually did report on it on our TV show, Happy Minds TV.
And we talked about it, I think, a few weeks ago here on Free Talk Live. It was just an absolute brutal beating on the part of this police officer against a relatively defenseless 15-year-old girl.
Anyway, what happened was they ordered her to remove her shoes. The teen used her right toe to loosen the heel of her left sneaker, which she then cast off, the rubber-soled shoe apparently striking Officer Sheen in the shin.
Yeah, I'd like to say that, you know, in full disclosure, the little girl was being petulant.
She's a bratty little teenage girl.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he pounded her in the face. He, like, threw her across the room and pounded her in the face.
And then threw her to the ground, continued pounding on her, and then when they'd handcuffed her, he lifted her up by her hair. So, really nice guy. Anyway, she began the...
Well, he came unglued, and to me, that means that you shouldn't be doing that job.
And yeah, I mean, this the rate at which the shoe was flipped from the ground into his shin was not anything that could have hurt this guy. No way. And nor would it have engendered the response, even if it did hurt him, even if he went, ow, nor it should not have engendered the response of what he did. So as she began the mirror process with the other shoes, Sheen stormed the holding cell, kicked the girl in the groin, chased her across the cell, grabbed her by the hair, flung her to the concrete floor, burrowed his knees into her back, slugged her twice in what appears to be the head, and handcuffed her, all of this on camera. He then yanked her by her hair to her feet and escorted her out the door and out of our view. The girl, who had offered no resistance, reported trouble breathing. Paramedics were called. Sheen's report declared the teenager had suffered a panic attack.
She probably panicked as he was beating her in the head.
Pretty bad, but does it stand up to the LAPD Rodney King beating or the NYPD torture of Abner Luima or the countless other videotaped police attacks we've seen in recent years? The answer is yes. The Sheen attack didn't last nearly as long as the King beating. It wasn't as sadistic as the broom-handled sodomizing case of Luima in Brooklyn's 70th Precinct, but it's just as painful to watch a 6'2", 195-pound man pummeling a frightened child. Who cares whether the girl was lippy or that she may have referred to the officers as fat pigs? Any excessive police force violates agency policy, not to mention state and or federal laws. Not only does such official violence inflict pain,
you've got to have the right attitude to be a police officer. If you've got this huge chip on your shoulder and some little 15-year-old girl who's, you know, being bratty is, you know, can set you off like that, you don't need to be a police officer. First off, you need some anger management course. To you know, make your life a little better. But, you know, I just can't imagine the cops that I know that I believe to be good police officers coming unglued like that. I can imagine them, you know, smiling and, you know, perhaps being a little passive-aggressive in the way they would deal with it, but, you know, not beating somebody.
Do you remember the police instructor that we met at the Liberty Forum this year?
Yeah, like, he walked with the gait. When you read some books, some fiction books, they'll talk about guys that walk with the gait. Like, they look like they could just snap your neck. He looked like that.
Oh, he was definitely a badass dude.
Totally
fit the role of
like
police instructor.
The Wrangler jeans and the cowboy. God, he looked like Chuck Norris to me.
Well, anyway, this guy, he's become really disillusioned with the whole police system, with the quality of the recruits that he's seen, because he's been teaching year after year the new recruits that are coming in. And he said, and I'm not going to reveal who he is or anything like that, but he said that 10% maximum... 10% maximum of the recruits that they hire have courage. And he said a lot of other things.
He said they're getting worse. Like there was little to little good that he said about the new recruits coming in. He feels now this is a guy who teaches hand to hand combat to these guys, and he says they're way too militarized.
Well, and he said the COs are worse. He said he tried to teach a group of COs one time, and that was the last time he would ever do it.
Yeah,
because they're even worse than the cops. And as he points out, the quality just keeps declining. So, inevitably, if they're having that much trouble filling these roles with people, they have to take the bottom of the barrel.
Well, they need so many police officers now because of the drug war. I mean, most people that get arrested, I don't know if that's true. I don't know if it's most people that get arrested. They're arresting a lot of non-violent offenders, and a lot of the violent offenders out there wouldn't be violent offenders if it wasn't for the drug war. We wouldn't need as large of a police force, and therefore we could take the top 50%, and I think we'd be a lot better off.
I bet you're right about that. Not only does such official violence inflict pain, says Stamper, often causing lasting physical and emotional injury, it greatly undermines public confidence in the police, as evidenced by reader reactions to the original post. People are outraged by this stuff, and rightfully so, because it's not hard to imagine this happening to you. It's not hard to imagine this happening to your son or your daughter or a close friend or another family member.
Everybody knows a petulant teenager.
Because this stuff happens so often, it's beginning to strike people closer to home. I think people are starting to figure out that it's just random chance whether it happens to them or not. Cops are allowed, says Stamper, in the language of Sheen's own agency, to use physical or lethal force only as, and this is their own rule, only as necessary to effect an arrest, to defend themselves or others from violence, or to accomplish other police duties according to the law. Now, apart from the question of why in the world they do it with today's omnipresent cameras rolling, why do certain cops resort to using excessive force? Sheen claims he was assaulted. The girl maintains she was not even aiming for the deputy when she flipped off the shoe. He claims the sneaker caused him bruising, bleeding, and pain, as well as a blood-filled pocket. Though it's hard to imagine that statement even passing as truth, Sheen's injury appears to have been caused by his self-propelled collision with the cell's shin-high stainless steel commode, caught clearly on the tape. So as he's running in his mad dash to beat this girl and just in this mindless, zombified rage. Attack, this fit of rage, he runs into the toilet. That's where his injury.
And I'll tell you, those silver bullets do not move. Those things are stainless steel.
Yeah.
They are attached very, very well because they don't want convicts pulling
them
out
up.
And
yeah, sure.
Throwing them through things.
The deputy will no doubt assert he used only the amount of force necessary to overcome the girl's physical aggression. And it doesn't take a trained observer to see
he's
wrong.
Were crossed.
Yeah.
When he attacked her, she didn't even have a chance to pull them out. She was so stunned that this jerk was coming after her. Her arms were still crossed.
Right. She was acting. It's just imagine.
When he hit her, he threw her across this room.
Yeah. Imagine a bratty little 15-year-old girl standing with her arms crossed and being a little punk. And that's what you've got. She flips her shoe off of her foot. It hits the guy in the shin, and he lets loose on her. I'd never seen anything. I mean, I've seen some police brutality videos. This is one of the most just absolutely atrocious ones, I think. Toll-free number here is 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. So Stamper has a few suggestions as to how to prevent things like this from happening in the future. We'll share some of those with you. You're welcome to comment as well. Have the police come close to your home, come close to your life, your personal life, and entered it with violence? Have they harmed somebody that you love? You want to tell the story? 800-259-9231. This is Free Talk Live.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Did you miss your favorite shows on GCN today? Thanks to the continued support of our listeners, subscribers, and sponsors, we are proud to bring the GCN audience a new and exciting way to listen called On Demand. Available on GCNLive.com, On Demand plays each show continuously until the next time the show goes live. It's simple to use. Just go to GCNLive.com, click on the On Demand button, and find your favorite shows. Don't get discouraged. Get On Demand. Free. Thanks again to the listeners at GCNLive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.